It's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. This hour, Susan Smith speaking at her parole hearing 30 years after being convicted of murdering her two young children.
I know that what I did was horrible.
Smith serving a life sentence for rolling her car into a lake with her toddler and infant inside and asking the parole board for mercy. Venezuelan Jose Ibarra to be sentenced shortly after a guilty verdict on all 10 counts in the Lake and Riley murder trial. Riley killed while jogging near University of Georgia. ABC News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer.
Not much of a surprise there, especially when you look at the evidence that the prosecution put forward in terms of forensic evidence, circumstantial evidence, digital forensic evidence, the cell phone, the fingerprint, the DNA under the victim's fingernails.
At the United Nations today, the U.S. vetoing a Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza because it failed to include a requirement for Hamas to release its hostages. Escalation, President Biden agreeing to supply Ukraine with anti-personnel mines. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman faces a disciplinary complaint from the State Office of Lawyer Regulation.
The spring election is in for another several months, but already his 2020 election investigation. Two candidates, Chandel Washington Spivey and Ellie McClune, have already announced they are running on Tuesday. Current Mayor Mitch Reynolds said he is not running for re-election.
It stems from his work as a special counsel for the Wisconsin State Assembly. The filing seeks sanctions and possible fines from the State Supreme Court against Gableman.
The complaint notes that Gableman was paid $11,000 monthly for his four-month investigation that yielded no results. News this week, the La Crosse Area Community Foundation is donating a total of $300,000 to Next Steps for Change, La Crosse Lighthouse Incorporated, the Hmong Cultural and Community Center, and the Sustainability Institute. The goal is to help nonprofits in the area as they develop. To date, the foundation has awarded over $70 million in grants and scholarships. The grants are provided to help local groups handle operational costs. There are changes happening within the state's Democratic Party. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
Sarah Abel has been named the new executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. She previously served as the deputy executive director. The shakeup might not end there. Current state party chair Ben Wickler is considering a bid to lead the Democratic National Committee. Wickler's held the Wisconsin position since 2019.
Meanwhile, Republicans are endorsing keeping their state chairman, Brian Schimming, in the role for another term. This week is Wisconsin Winter Weather Awareness Week. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
A winter weather preparedness kit doesn't have to be extensive. Brown County Emergency Management Director Daniel Kane says everyone should have one in your home and one in your car.
These kits can be built to your own specific needs, your own specific requirements, your own specific fiscal situation, right?
Kane says your kit should include food, water, warm blankets, and a change of clothes for every person in your home.
You can find out more information at the National Weather Service La Crosse website, weather.gov/ARX. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Chicago Bulls at five-serve form. Both teams looking for a chance for back-to-back wins. On Monday, the Bucks beat the Rockets. The Bulls got past the struggling 76ers. College basketball, number 15th-ranked Marquette with an impressive win in Milwaukee last night over number 6th-ranked Purdue. The Golden Eagles, 76-58 over the Boilermakers. Cam Jones had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, and only the third triple-double in Marquette history. The last player to do so, Dwayne Wade, back in 2003. Baseball, the Brewers' Pat Murphy named the National League Manager of the Year, who talked about the challenge of a club being from Milwaukee.
That's what this whole thing's about. You know, like when you're thinking of a small market team, you're thinking of guys that have all been thrown away, all guys that have been said, no, you're not good enough. That's pleasurable to see, you know, these guys then, you know, find a way to be successful. It's special.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and cold with scattered snow showers developing, highs only in the upper 30s. For tonight, scattered snow showers to continue mainly early, remaining blustery with low temperatures in the mid-20s. Current temperature is 33.
Max Inc. Radio.
These days I can't have. This is Paige Kleber. The 11-year-old will be live in studio playing songs from her new album. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join me. We'll talk about the mega cabinet meeting, WWE, baby! And Trump did not have a landslide. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite, and it is...
Hump Day!
Wow, starting the hour off with a little S&M. What a way to begin. And with that, we bring in the host of Up North News Radio.
Back from a vacation. Full pivot away from whatever that was. Hello, Mr. Alba.
How you doing, Patrick? On the banks of Lake Wissota, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. Tan, rested, and ready, Pat Kreitler.
That line from Nixon is never going to get old, I tell you. The number that best explains my mood after coming off a post-election vacation is 50,000. That would be the approximate number. No, that would be the minimum number of emails that I deleted during the week that I was off.
Wow.
Deleted. All of them... press releases from various campaigns, candidates, groups, things like that. So no individual messages. I went through filter after filter after filter to get various press releases and things, and 50,000 of them went poof.
Wow.
And that feels good.
That's amazing. See, I'm jealous of people that could do that because I'm always afraid I'm going to miss something. So I go individually and then it just piles up and I never get to it anyway.
It is actually something I do with my personal email, like around New Year's Day. It's kind of, one of those little traditions. But since I had time off post-election, I thought I would tackle the work email box. And so I got rid of the 50,000, only about, let me double check here, about 13,000 to go of ones that weren't easily. Oh, there's so many fundraising emails, Tom, writing in on YouTube. Yes, so true.
Yes, so true, Tom. Big show today. Going to be talking about a couple of stories we did not get to yesterday. An assist for rural Wisconsin students. Yes, there's a little good news in the world today. There's an opportunity for rural people in Wisconsin to still go into higher education. Give you some details about that. Also from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I want to get to this story on Great Lakes PFAS and lead pipes, how Trump's policies could impact Wisconsin's environment. And Trygve Olson may make an appearance, although we have not heard from him. So we'll see. Last I saw of him, he was at Soldier Field celebrating with his daughters after that big Packer victory against the Bears on Sunday. So Trygve might still be, I don't know, downtown somewhere.
I'm more concerned that maybe he's one of the first in the re-education camps. I mean, who's to say?
I mean... maybe it's not all joking.
It's all part of the new world order here.
Right. Well, let's get into it, Pat Kreitler, because I'm interested in your take on this. You and I touched a little bit this morning on your show about this. I get the whole, I shouldn't say that. My friends say you're a guy in media who loves media. That's 100% true. So I'm just infatuated by all these media fallout stories. We've talked in our show about the Morning Joe program on MSNBC, former Republican Congressman Joe Scarborough and his now wife and on-air partner Mika Brzezinski. They had Trump on their program a lot in 2016. Then after it got to 2020, they kind of turned and said, or he was in office in 2017. They were like, no, this isn't going to work. And they went after him. And when it went after him in 2020, now that he has won, now they went down to Mar-a-Lago over the weekend and basically genuflected, did not do an interview and came back and said, look, we want to have more open communication. I have a problem with that. But the bigger issue for me, Pat, is what this means to other media outlets, as you alluded to, in this new world of retribution. I want to get your take on that, and then I believe Trygve Olsen is going to be joining us here shortly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and Trygve would actually know the exact phrase when dealing with totalitarians, something along the lines of do not obey in advance. And that is exactly what is happening here. It has set journalism back a step in that once again you have people preemptively going to bend the knee, kiss the ring, whatever, because it's about access. And that's always been my biggest concern with media coverage of the campaign this year and throughout Trump's first term, was that reporters and later book authors were pulling their punches in order to get access. And then we see a book come out with some kind of salacious details that should have come out right away, and it did not, because they wanted that access. It's no wonder so many people are jaded and cynical of the media, that the rest of us trying to hold up, you know, a mirror, trying to magnify, you know, and amplify the truth, are told, well, we're just not sure we can believe you anymore. Mm-hmm. It's because of stunts like this by MSNBC, you know, a channel that I will certainly be watching much less of now.
Before we go to Trygve, give me your take, because you spent a lot of time in the Chippewa Valley area in Eau Claire on local television up there and did a great job, one of the main anchors in the Chippewa Valley before you got elected to the state Senate. Give me your take, Pat, as a longtime local television journalist, about the possible impacts that we're going to see, you know, further down from MSNBC. Are we going to see our local Wisconsin news affected by this, feeling intimidated that somehow they have to, you know, toe the line?
Oh, I feel that's already been happening for some time. I have been especially vocal with my former station about the way they seem to pull punches, and I'll use Derek Van Orden as an example. And the same goes, frankly, for the two lacrosse stations as well. Kid Gloves treatment would be doing an injustice to Kid Gloves. there was virtually no reporting under the topic of accountability in looking at the man's record. Instead, it was, oh, look, Derek Van Orden is touring another farm and he's petting the cows. When anybody that pays more attention than that would see that there's much more to be said about his character, his lack of accomplishments, other things that would really affect the voters of that district. And you're going to see nothing but, you know, puff piece coverage of Derek Van Orden moving forward. And even in their coverage of Trump, there's been so many times. There was an example this morning where, again, I looked at the TV and just kind of made a face like, how did you completely miss this particular angle, which, again, may not have reflected as well on Trump, but that just conveniently gets forgotten in the news copy.
Yeah. Let's go to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. It turns out Trygve Olsen did not stay in Chicago. He was partying.
He's been liberated from the re-education camp.
His kids were with him, so it tempered the amount of ability he had to party after we found out the Bears still suck and Green Bay blocked that field goal down there in Chicago. Trygve Olsen, former Republican like myself, a native of River Falls, Wisconsin, and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joins us from our nation's capital. Trygve, glad to see you survive the big celebration.
Well, it was an epic game. And Todd, you suggested that I didn't have time to get together with my buddies. I will tell you, as you know, my buddy Kurt was down there with his two of his kids and his nephew, who's a freshman at Madison, and I had my two girls. Kurtie and I did go play a little craps downtown Chicago, and the Oneida Nation will be happy to know that Bally's now has their money. We were trying to use our Legress from Green Bay when you were around to show his kids, who are old enough, mine are not, to go play craps, how the game is played. And let's just say we were more like the Chicago Bears than the Green Bay Packers.
So perhaps not how the game is played.
Not how the game is played. Well done.
Yeah.
It was an education regardless.
Right.
It was an education. Yes, so, you learn more through failure than you do through success.
Says everybody who has failed at something. Right. Yes, I know it well.
me too. Yeah. Trevi, let's get your quick take on this. First of all, just your knee-jerk reaction. Talk about, I'm sure you're aware of, you know, Mika and Joe going down to Mar-a-Lago. And on the larger context, as I was talking with Pat, you know, further down, this fear of possible retribution. You know, I don't want to go into it right now. I talked a little bit yesterday when I, quote unquote, blew the whistle on the Wisconsin Republican State Senate and their attempts to suppress votes, ended up being a key witness in a federal trial and went public with that. I had a small coffee business right after that, and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue came after me at a rate that most small business people would not normally have. Could I prove that the Scott Walker Department of Revenue went after me as retribution? I can't prove that. It seemed awful odd. But Trevi, are we living in this new world at a federal level now in Trump world where that's a real possibility?
Well, I think certainly that is how a lot of people are feeling. There's a lot of people who are feeling fear and anxiety and concerned about that. I think time will tell, and certainly there are indications that if the action are being taken, that it's real, whether it's, you know, actual retribution has started or not, you know, clearly not, but the threats of attribution are certainly an autocratic tactic. You know, autocrats use six tactics. I wrote a book about this that wasn't published, but it was used by, you know, for people working abroad in the USG and elsewhere. You know, six tactics: dependency, marginalization, divide and conquer, big ideas, big lies. I'm missing one. And then the last one is threats, repression, and violence. And, you know, autocratic actors, signs of autocratic actors are that they are using a strategy of inevitability and invincibility through fear. And clearly, that seems to be part of the modus operandi of Trump. And I think in Joe and Mika's case, obviously there was some fear there, and, you know, they went and did what they did. Now there'll be consequences for them. I think, you know, Pat was probably a Morning Joe viewer because he likes to get up early and talk to all of you and then probably turns it on. I bet he won't be turning it on as much.
Correct.
that's the other side of the consequences of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's hard to say at this moment. We're not really, it's not really clear where it's, there's indications where things are headed. I'm not going to be, you know, I have a lot
of faith. I'll do it for you. he gets inaugurated at noon. And by the time the network newscasts are on, there will be some kind of story about some form of retribution somewhere.
There may be. That is just, I'm not saying that it isn't going to happen. I just, we're going to see. I think one of the things people have to understand about the environment we're in,
30
from
seconds
working
before the break. Go ahead.
Places, is there's going to be moments where this is, there's going to be alliances and allies of convenience.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Come back, talk more about
that. We can talk about it on the other side.
Yep, on the other side with Trevi Olson, Lincoln Project, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show right now at a time like this. You are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
Now, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Get up! Get going! Forget about MSNBC. Turn on your radio. Listen to Pat Kreitlow. That music will get you up every morning at 6 a.m. Up North News Radio on Lake Wissota. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on Civic Media, 21 past the hour of 12 noon. The aforesaid host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow, joins us from beautiful Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin and wishing he were there, but in the nation's capital, our very own Trigvi Olsen, now senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Guys, we were talking about this before the break there. Again, the larger kind of media sexy issue is that Joe and Mika from Morning Joe went down and met with Trump over the weekend and didn't do an interview, just said they wanted to have a better dialogue. And a lot of people are really disappointed in that, including myself, because I just think, you know, three of us spent time, and a lot of other people as well, before this election saying, look, this democracy is on the line. This guy is an autocrat. This guy is a wannabe dictator. This is a dangerous person to have back in the White House. And Joe and Mika went, you know, 100 times on that. And I think it's just, you can't be believable now if you walk that back and say, you know what, maybe it might not be so bad. I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I'm hoping that all this doesn't come to pass, but I'm not going to go back on because what I said, what I believed. Trigvi, I mean, I think it's confusing to people.
And I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, as Todd knows, I've kind of gone underground, not because I'm going underground, but I've been going underground because I'm trying to wrap my head around it with my experiences and what I know. You know, the truth of the matter is we need to hope for the best and we need to prepare for the worst. But even beyond that, for most people who are listening, and I'm thinking about this and we can talk about it offline, I've been thinking a lot about conversations that we have. And I've been talking to a lot of people, not in politics, but just people in my life. And one of the things that, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. And we go to have a Thanksgiving celebration with people that we've been celebrating Thanksgiving with for, you know, years, decades. And there's going to be some people who voted for Trump there and feel passionately about it. And then there's people who are really concerned about where we're headed. We need to help people understand how to have conversations that are outside of the talking points, are outside of the big sort of moment stuff, at a very foundational level about who we are as people and about the values that we hold. Because there's a whole lot of cognitive dissonance. If you separate out the elites and the political battles, and we can talk about some of the reasons why I feel like, you know, how this is going to play out based on what I've seen in other places. But at a more foundational level, we need people to have the tools. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are dreading going to Thanksgiving because their uncle is super MAGA, or the kid is going to come home from college who's very far left. And we've got to fix that.
I couldn't agree more. That I want to, and I said earlier in the show, I think before he got on, I want to listen to people that didn't vote like me, fellow voters, fellow citizens. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe in going down and kissing the ring. Pat Kreitlow would see.
Well, and that's what makes this very hard for me, because as many people have discussed already, those folks who follow the news, those folks who follow politics, voted for Vice President Harris. They're informed about what the issues are. People who do not follow politics regularly voted overwhelmingly for former President Trump. That's not a virtue. Mm-hmm. And I know that that makes me sound elitist or arrogant or egg-headed or whatever you want to be. I'm sticking to that. Not being fully aware of the ramifications of your vote is not a virtue. And some people live by the axiom of don't blame the voters. I'm not blaming the voters. I'm just saying I am more committed than ever to reaching folks and saying, hey, guys, that thing there, that's not quite true. The way I put it on the show the other day is my new hero, the thing that I want to be in 2025 is a little bubble from VH1's pop-up videos. I want to be able to show up on the scene and just pop up with a bubble going, that's not necessarily true. You know, here's what Trump's tariffs did last time around to decimate Wisconsin agriculture. And I just want to keep doing that outreach.
I want to get this.
We might be better, Pat, if we just did it as you and I, as Beavis and Butthead.
That's good.
Not saying you're wrong. I'm saying whatever gets that information in front of the non-regular news consumer.
I want your take on this, Pat, because I know you got to go at the bottom of the hour. Here's just one quick thing. I know there's a lot of statistics. Trivia will talk about more of them. Almost 4 in 10 U.S. adults under 30 get their news from influencers. That's 21% of all U.S. adults, 19% of men, 23% of women, and 37% of voters 18 to 29. So to your point, I'm not sure that some of the people went to the polls felt they were ill-informed. They felt that they were informed. It was where they were getting their information from.
Correct. And I don't fault that model, because things don't stay the same all the time. We're not going to have the era of Walter Cronkite forever and ever. People have always gotten their information from different sources, pamphlets back in the Thomas Paine era, you know? So, of course, influencers. And so it's just that much more important that people who really want to put truth first, and frankly, some more admirable values first, should be reaching out to those influencers. So it's not only important to get in front of non-traditional news consumers, it's important to get in front of whether it's a Joe Rogan at the big national level or somebody who's got a very popular, you know, Instagram account at the Wisconsin level, and say, hey, we just want to provide you with this information. Do you have any questions? Because eventually they're going to be talking not to an audience, but to voters once again. And so let's get good information in front of them.
Trigby, about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the issue, too, is it becomes a closed information loop, right? And we've got people who've been living that for a long time. And so on the right, somebody sees something on Fox News, they see something on the internet, they go to their local Lutheran church over coffee, and they're like, well, I saw this and heard this. And then it becomes, well, Shirley is the one who feels this way. And it becomes, you know, and because people who feel differently don't want to engage in conversations because they don't have the tools and don't know how to do that those conversations, people feel vindicated in that they're right.
Always great news and conversation on Up North News Radio. You can join Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 8. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you.
You betcha. See ya.
See ya. Stay tuned. Trigby and I on the other side. As Matt Flynn says, do not hang up. We see you on the line. It's your phone calls next to the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
There's some back and forth between the U.S. and China on used cooking oil, which is used to make biofuel. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Wednesday. Because of the tariff scare with the Trump administration, right after the election, the U.S. had been importing a lot of used cooking oil from China to shore up on supplies before potential tariffs. But now China is talking about adding restrictions on its own exporters. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing has the details.
We've seen some movement here. First off, soybean oil popped right after the election on just talk that, you know, when President Trump gets in, he'll probably put a tariff on that, again, allowing usage of soybean oil and get that demand usage up, which is what we really need for the soybean side. But then just last week, China has been having a duty on that, on those exports. They typically would charge a 13% tax to their exporters for shipping that overseas. They have waived that tax, just announced last week that they're going to be reinstalling that tax.
John Heinberg is with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Used cooking oil used to make biodiesel, and the U.S. has been importing more year over year. In 2022, we imported just under $1 billion, and in 2023, that number went up to $3 billion of used cooking oil. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity prices up next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Markets are mixed Wednesday from Chicago, with cash and new crop corn up 2.25 cents at 429.5. Cash soybeans are 8.25 cents lower at 990.25. And November 2025 new crop soybeans are down 7.5 cents, trading at 1013.5. Cash wheat is up 4.5 cents at 554.25. And July 2025 new crop wheat is up 0.75 cents, trading at 590 a bushel. The December Class 3 milk contract is down 7 cents at 1889 a hundredweight, and the January contract is down 12 cents at 1879. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds today, breezy and cold with scattered snow showers developing, highs only in the upper 30s. For tonight, scattered snow showers to continue mainly early, remaining blustery with low temperatures in the mid-20s. It's 35 at our studios.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got a great guest host for you. Political editor of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, takes the chair. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yeah, I want to drive the Zamboni. Yes, I do.
Welcome Welcome back to the Tom Wall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past hour at 12 noon on Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. Did you ever, Trevi Olson played a lot of hockey, still does. Senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, like myself, a Wisconsinite. But Trevi, did you ever drive a Zamboni?
I never drove a Zamboni. I was thinking as that song was playing, maybe my next act in life is to just move home to River Falls and be the Zamboni driver at the rink.
I've heard it's harder than it looks because there's just a little tiny wheel.
Yeah, you got to be, yes. Yeah.
In fact,
some guy got arrested recently. I read this, in kind of funny news. Mm-hmm. Some guy who was drunk got on a Zamboni and went out and took it for a spin and ended up crashing through the boards, wrecking the rinks.
Because not only are you trying to keep in the right track, but you're trying to lower the, I'll call it the blade, and then there's the water. It's very nuanced.
Yeah.
A good Zamboni
driver.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah.
855.
I didn't get to be that guy. We used to play early in the morning at high school, and there was a kid whose dad was the manager of the rink. He used to show up and Zamboni the ice before us at like 5 in the morning.
Join Trigby and Todd's next adventure as we bring you the show from a Zamboni machine. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talk a little bit before the break with Trigby and also Pat Kreitler. Many thanks for him for coming on once again this week. Ramifications of Donald Trump in the White House, what that means in terms of talking to one another, having conversations, but also the ramifications perhaps of on media as well. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines, take them in order of the calls. Do not hang up. We see you there, as Matt Flynn says. Speaking of Matt in Middleton, listening on WMDX. Matt, thanks for listening and holding on. What say you?
Hey, guys. Thanks again for what you do. I thought I'd share a story relating to what you just talked about, these influencers. I was dating this woman back earlier in the summer, and over drinks, talking, she seemed to have similar values, more democratic, more center, wanting help with the economy, all the typical stuff. But all it took for her to swing to Trump was she watched some videos from this Matt Walsh guy who's all about, transgender people are evil, and that's his big shtick,
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all it took to swing her. She actually, texted me to troll me a bit about it, rubbing it in, so to speak. And I've seen a lot of these influencers, and they can be very convincing. So I really hope we can get away from that somehow, but I don't see the answer to that other than throwing away the phones, right, so to speak.
Thanks
again, guys.
Hey, I appreciate your listenership as always, Matt. And thank you for that very specific story, Trigvi, because when you hear people like that, Matt, saying, hey, this is what happened in my life, to me, that's the ultimate focus group or ultimate poll, and a lot more valuable when you hear real stories like that. It just, in one case, we can't paint with too broad of a brush, but that's one specific example of how a narrow or relatively narrow influencer helped sway one voter.
So I think it's fair to say, and you and I spent all that time in Wisconsin just before the election.
Went all around the state.
Yeah. And I think if you look at the ultimate outcomes, Tammy winning, Harris losing, some of the state legislative races, and I'm working on trying to understand this better. But I think it is pretty clear across all of the states that the narrative that they set out around trans,
the anti-trans, transphobic ads attacking,
anti-trans,
with bad information,
women,
lies,
men playing women's sports, mm-hmm, and all of these things. Now, you can have a conversation: is that really a thing? And mm-hmm, you and I have talked about that on the show.
And it's not really,
in the state of Wisconsin, it's not really a thing. But it's also an 85, at least on men playing women's sports at a narrative level. It's an 85-15 issue against that, and the reason the Harris campaign did not respond to it, and they didn't respond to it because they were worried about small subsets of their electorate, as best I understand it. And that was a massive mistake. I believe it cost them probably the election.
Mm-hmm. I want to make clear for people listening to this that what you just said is not hyperbole or something you came up. That was, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but that's something that the Democratic folks told you.
Yeah, and that our own data reinforces.
Right. Go ahead.
And, they that several of their Senate candidates have been talking about it. Now, Tammy Baldwin's an interesting case study in this because she responded directly to it. And she also happens to be an openly lesbian woman who was reelected in a state in the state of Wisconsin. When that issue was being, she was hit with $30 million worth of ads on it. And she was in trouble. You and I could sense that as we were traveling around the state. Mm-hmm. About 5 days out, she put up an ad and she basically said, Eric Hovde is lying. You know, and I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. And you know who I am. And the truth of the matter is, like, people do know her because she's been all over the state. They don't care who her partner is. But she confronted it head on. The Harris campaign never did. The mm-hmm. candidates who confronted it straight on ended up winning the Senate races. The Harris campaign didn't do that. And it's not about trans kids. It's about the narrative. Okay?
Right.
And
what people believe, the perceptions, false or not.
The perception that it's a thing. It's mm-hmm. like the war on Christmas. And it has to be confronted. And again, like that mattered a great deal. It's a little bit like, you know, from the Democratic side, when they're throwing out policies to constituencies, and I say this as a former Republican, so they can take it for what it's worth, but when they talk about student loan forgiveness, okay, I get it. I get the issue about student loan debt. But put yourself in the perspective of a working guy who's gotta have a pickup truck, an F-150 to do his job, and has a loan for his F-150 and is paying more for gas. And he's saying, you know what? I need that. And I didn't go to college and acquire a lot of debt, but I got a lot of debt from my truck. Mm-hmm. I'd like that forgiven. And that's a narrative that can be built. And so, like, there has to be, we just need to be far more astute. And I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats. As Americans, as Wisconsinites, putting ourselves in other people's shoes, in your neighbor's shoes. Mm-hmm.
Let's continue on the phones. 855-752-4842. Peggy, being patient in Brooklyn, Wisconsin. Peggy, thanks for holding on. What say you?
Okay, help me understand this. I have a lifelong childhood friend who was bullied. She was abused by her father. She lives in Alabama, and she told me she was voting for Trump because he tells the truth. Okay, that's one part. Mm-hmm. The other part is I have a very excellent farmer who farms part of my property and does my hay, and he and his son both said to me, Tammy Baldwin has done so much for the ag business, but, you know, I think I'm still going to have to vote for Trump. I don't get it. Help me understand this.
Well, let me before I have
Travy.
Right. Before Travy responds, are you saying that those folks then, they voted for Trump and Tammy?
Nope. They both voted for Trump.
Right. But they also voted for Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
No, they voted for Hovde.
All right, so they voted for Trump, Hovde, even though...
I don't get it.
All right, I just want to make sure we got it clear. Go ahead, Trigby. And thanks for the call, Peggy.
Yeah, and I think Peggy would say that there's probably cognitive dissonance between how those people live their lives and how they are as...
I'm going to stop you right there. Explain, because you use that a lot. I get it. I know a lot of people are like, what does he mean? Explain what cognitive dissonance is,
cognitive dissonance?
Yeah.
So cognitive dissonance... I want to use the word incongruent, but that probably is just going down the wrong path. Cognitive dissonance is where how I live my life and how I perceive myself is very different from what I'm advocating. That there's a big difference between the two of them.
Correct.
Right? And so, and you know, when people are feeling distress, which... it can be political distress, right? There can be a tendency to give into simplistic answers that are not aligned with other aspects of how they see themselves. And part of, you know, people coming to a realization of needs for change and acceptance is based on them doing the work within themselves to understand, and people helping them find the answers where that.
So what, know, to answer difference to kind of get into Peggy's
so to
question,
answer her question,
how can they say that Tammy did a lot?
The specifics,
they know, right? They know that Tammy had done a lot for agriculture. They think she did a good job, basically. Yeah. But they're still voting for Huffy and Trump.
Yeah, because they were likely buying into narratives about cultural issues and other facets. It's you know, there's the part of the understanding. You know, and again, you and I coming up on the Republican side, we tend to think differently about campaigns and politics than Democrats do, because in Republican politics, you're built to build narratives. Democratic politics, they're about what policies can we create for constituencies. Mm-hmm. And those narratives were trumping the policies. And so people were like, I don't want, I'm voting for Eric Hubby because I don't want men playing women's sports, and that's totally wrong, right?
Wrong information.
Now,
but
never, and that weighs in more narrative than she's good for my business.
Right.
I mean, think about it. When Democrats lost in 2004, the most popular book on the left was "What's the Matter with Kansas?" How do you think you felt if you were in Kansas? It's like, who are these idiots? This is the perception amongst the left is, why are these people so dumb that they're doing this? The perception on the right is, these people on the left, they think they're so much smarter than me, and they're wrong.
Right.
They're not. They're for these things that are crazy. Mm. That is where we have to get into. And I'm not saying within our politics, just in general, having that there are things that we can agree upon. And I will tell you, Todd, there are a lot of studies where, and there's some groups, they're trying to do it two people at a time, where they're bringing in somebody from the left and somebody from the right and who don't know each other. And they have them sit down and start talking about their lives and then start talking about their politics. And they actually do find common agreement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when they're taken out of that.
Yeah. That's happened on the show. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly out to Los Angeles, California. LA Tom calling in. Always a pleasure, Tom. What's up?
Well, Trigger, I can't actually agree more with you in terms of, we got to punch back. When someone's paying $130 million for an ad, that tells you need to punch back. And you need to actually have a maybe even something from the Oval Address, and you're the incumbent, and to actually say something to the whole country, you know, about a situation. First off, 1/6 of 1% of the population is transgender.
Right.
1/6 of 1%. And now take it in little towns in Wisconsin. Are you kidding me? The chances of them being a transgender person, or a transgender person that even wants to be open about being transgender, is nil. So, you know, yes, it needed to be brought up, and Kamala Harris came out and said, this is a lie, just like Tammy Baldwin did. It's not putting down people that are transgender. This is not true. But you're right. The narrative started 2 years ago on talk radio. I had customers of mine talking about, you know, teachers saying that kids could be cats and have a litter box in their bathroom. What a lie.
Happened in my hometown, the Richland Center.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started it 2 years ago, and what they do is they have right-wing radio, they have Fox, they have all of this right-wing infrastructure, and now I'm going to call it truthful radio, like civic media, and no talking points radio, like civic media, is what's needed, because there needs to be that narrative for a longer standpoint, and there's also need to be somewhere on the truthful radio or no talking points radio, there needs to be pushback. And there needs to be, wait, let's take this thing apart.
Right.
And realize that
LA, Tom,
is not the truth.
Hang on, Tom. I'm up against the clock, LA, but stay on the line. Don't hang up. And we're going to get Trigby's response on the other side. Great points. Great call. 855-752-4842. It's the Oddball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Relax. Play some hockey. Drive a Zamboni.
Eagle 1490 AM. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same.
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
He was born in Big Beaver by the borderline. He started playing hockey by the time he was nine. His dad took the hose and froze the backyard. Little buddy dreamed he was Rocket Richard.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Thomas, where'd you find that one?
That is Warren Zevon's song, Hit Somebody, in parentheses, the hockey song.
I have never heard that.
Do you know what Warren Zevon's biggest song is?
What?
Werewolves
of London. Right.
Yeah.
And wow. It's got an awesome line about, I was drinking a pina colada at Trader Dick's, which is in L.A. It's fitting that we talked to L.A. Tom. And I remember I was, 20-ish,
right.
And I was out in L.A. It was like the second time I was out there, and we ended up. At Trader Vic's, so we
I love it. To order. Speaking of LA, Tom, you stole the line. Thanks for holding through, Tom. I just want to summarize quickly because I thought you brought up some great points, and I'm not, we've talked openly on this show. You and I, Tom, both happen to be out gay men, and so I mean, we come at this as a part of the quote unquote community LGBTQ. And what did you say, Tom? What was the percentage of transgender folks in America?
1/6 of 1% are so transgender.
1/6 of 1%, and I mean,
not even 1% of the people.
Right, and so Trevi, I mean, this point that some folks in Democrat, not all, but in Democratic circles, were afraid to hit back for fear that this small percent somehow might be offended when it's an 85%er that people just are ill informed on this and are susceptible to false narratives. Go ahead, Trevi.
Yeah, I think, again, it gets back to one of the things that, I had a conversation with, I don't want to say the person, but a very prominent Democrat. Todd knows who this is. And I was trying to understand how Democratic politics works. I mean, I used to work for Mitch McConnell, for God's sakes, right? So like right. Kind of different deal. And the person was going through all this stuff, and then they said, and this is the table we use to test ads for blowback scores. And I've known the person long enough, I got this really weird look on my face. And they're like, you don't do blowback scores? And I'm like, I don't even, what are you talking about? And that's like, well, we see if there's parts of our base that the ad will offend that it might turn off. And that person's like, you know, McConnell, the Republican politics, you didn't do that. And I'm like, you think that Mitch and those people are really, like, where else are they going to go?
Right.
But here's the thing about that. I've done enough focus groups and polling to know this, that the trans ad, the blowback wasn't amongst people in the gay community in terms of hitting back on it. Quite frankly, they wanted to hit back on
it. It's misinformation.
The yeah. blowback was amongst these like young progressive people,
right? Voters
who were like, oh my God, it's a little bit like the Palestinian people. Like right. now there's all these people who are like, are outraged about Mike Huckabee. What did you think was going to happen?
Right. Exactly.
What did you think?
Right.
Like,
I want to go ahead. Quick. Go ahead. Quick. Tom, are you still there?
No.
Tom, are you still there, Tom?
Yeah.
I want your real quickly. I want your take on this because this is just my perspective as a fellow gay person like yours. I live in rural Wisconsin. I would like to see fewer pushing of drag queens reading libraries and more of let's make sure that we have books in libraries to help kids who are curious about their sexuality or have questions, or let's bring speakers in, an athlete who happens to be gay and say, look, here's something that you can actually, I would like to see more of that to actually foster discussion rather than forcing things, you know, on people that are very uncomfortable. Am I wrong about that, Tom?
Well, no, not at all. But the thing is also punch back.
Right.
Say, this is not true. This is not
That's
true.
Exactly right.
Transgender person, you don't have to you don't have to disrespect the transgender community by saying that something where apparently, you know, like this person that is in Congress now where they're doing the bathroom thing.
Right.
It's like, first off, didn't you grow up in a household where you had males and females using a bathroom? And second off, are you that predatorial in your white Anglo-Saxon Protestant man straight world that you think that everybody is out to just, be a predator?
Right.
Hell no. They're there to go to the bathroom. Right. Let them go to the bathroom and get out.
Zomer said this before. Zomer said it before the show started. Have you ever gone to a concert and used a porta potty?
Somebody else has used it. It's in a whole row.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. Everyone using it. Exactly.
Right. Appreciate the call, Tom. About 2 minutes left, Ricky.
Well, I think about I never thought that I would leave Wisconsin, and then I ended up going to Europe and all these places, and it led to a different path. But I remember the first time I flew to Europe, I was going through Frankfurt, and I go into the bathroom, and I'm standing there at the urinal, and all of a sudden, out from one of the stalls walks the maid who's cleaning it, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, I'm standing here going to the bathroom in front of this lady. And then I thought to myself, well, if that's how they do it here,
yeah,
okay, whatever.
Right.
Like, and I just, I don't know. I think we have to have honest conversations about it. I agree with Tom completely. We've got to correct the record. I think there has to be honest conversations with, you know, the reality is that men transitioning to play women's sports, which isn't a thing, is an 85% of Americans.
And when you say it's not a thing, it just means that the percentage and the number of people that actually do that are
so
minuscule.
It's minuscule.
Right.
It's minuscule. In the state of Wisconsin, what did the WIA
say? I believe five or six.
Yeah. And they were all people who were, I guess, born with both
genders.
Organs.
Right.
Yeah, both genders.
Which does happen.
But the bottom line is
actually less.
It's not a thing, but the other side of that
Hang
is
on.
If you
Dream, do you want to come back second hour? All right, stay tuned. Hour number two is next on the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, all things sports with Paul Noonan, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Don't Miss It.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.